Good evening. Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight we're going to do part two of our visit to the life and times and music of Charles N. Daniels. We did part one a couple weeks ago, and we're into part two now. The first part was Charles N. Daniels, the composer. Now we're going to talk about Charles N. Daniels, the music publisher. Just briefly, Daniels was born in Leavenworth, Kansas, April 12, 1878, raised in Kansas. In 1897, he was hired by the Carl Hoffman Music Company in Kansas City as a clerk and a song demonstrator. In 1898, Hoffman offered a $25 prize for the best two-step by a local composer. And, risking the charge of nepotism, Hoffman declared Daniels the winner for his composition, Marjorie. John Philip Sousa was in town with his band, and when he heard about the contest, he offered to perform the winning work. Sousa's endorsement of Marjorie gave Carl Hoffman his first regional hit. The piece would eventually sell 250,000 copies, but Daniels didn't get anything out of it because Carl Hoffman, by giving him $25, essentially bought the copyright. So we did listen to Marjorie last time. Let's play a different version of Marjorie this time to kind of kick things off, excuse me, and then we'll get into a lot of other different things shortly. Marjorie by Charles N. Daniels from 1898. That was performed by Nan Bostick, who was Charles N. Daniels' great niece, great grand niece, I guess it is, or something like that. and with some help from Tom Breyer on the second piano there. So, Marjorie. Let's see. Where am I here? Yes. Daniels committed a very big act of great historical importance while he was still employed by Hoffman. In December of 1898, he purchased and then arranged Scott Joplin's original rags. That was to be Joplin's very first published rag. And with it, Daniels began to show that he was developing a sympathetic ear for ragtime in general. Here is Original Rags, actually published in 1899, written by Scott Joplin, arranged by Charles N. Daniels, or so it says, and played this evening by Walter Chodak from France.
Thank you.
Walter Chodak has brought us Original Rags by Scott Joplin from 1899. Well, Daniels was not happy working for Hoffman because he wasn't getting any proceeds from the songs that he was writing and the works that he was publishing. So he left Hoffman in 1899 and started his own publishing company called Daniels, Russell, and Boone. And that same year, they issued the first Daniels composition, a waltz called Tell Me Your Dream, I'll Tell You Mine, which we listened to in their last segment. But in 1901, DR&B published The Smoky Topaz by Grace Bolin, a Kansas City music teacher, and it sold quite well. Here are the Crown Syncopators from San Francisco.
Thank you.
Smoky Topaz by Grace Bolin, published by Charles N. Daniels. Well, in 1901, Daniels' firm published his own composition of Hiawatha, an Indian intermezzo, and Daniels prevailed upon John Philip Sousa to include it in his concert programs. As I mentioned in the last segment, it was named for a town in Kansas named Hiawatha, and Daniels got the idea for it by listening to the rhythm of a railroad car running on the rails as he was headed to Hiawatha. Well, Sousa, by him featuring this tune, really made Hiawatha and made Charles N. Daniels as well. And in 1902, the major publishing house Jerome Remick and Company offered Daniels $10,000 for his publishing company so that Remick could own Hiawatha. As important as it is to the story of Charles N. Daniels, let's play it again, even though we played it 2 weeks ago. And this version will be by the Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra. A live performance by the Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra, no longer in existence, I'm sorry to say. Anyway, Hiawatha by Charles N. Daniels from 1901. Well, Daniels decided he would accept that $10,000 offer, sold his publishing company to Jerome Remick. Remick gave Daniels a job as the general manager of Whitney Warner, which was a newly acquired Remick company that was located in Detroit. Daniels would be invaluable to Remick over the next 10 years, partly because he remembered where ragtime came from. To replace Daniels, Carl Hoffman hired Charles L. Johnson and E. Harry Kelly. And Kelly's Peaceful Henry was published soon after that. From 1901, Peaceful Henry, here is the Heliotrope Ragtime Orchestra. Peaceful Henry from 1901. E. Harry Kelly wrote it. That was the Heliotrope Ragtime Orchestra. Well, in 1903, Charles Daniels, who was still riding high on Hiawatha, decided to expand the Whitney Warner catalog to include more ragtime, and he knew where to get it. He bought original rags and Peaceful Henry from Carl Hoffman, and he started to plug them. Charles L. Johnson was still with Hoffman, and Hoffman published his Dill Pickles in 1906. It became a regional hit, and Daniels quickly purchased it for Remick in 1907, giving that company its first million-selling rag. It also firmly established Charles L. Johnson as the composer of the first rag to break nationally, to become instantly popular with its first national exposure. Here is Dill Pickles from 1906, and here is Jazzu Jones. Dill Pickles by Charles L. Johnson, as played by Jazzu Jones. Published, of course, by Charles N. Daniels. After 2 years of getting Whitney Warner in order for the Remick folks, Daniels could finally turn his attention back to ragtime. And first to be promoted were works by two Detroit band leaders, The Bosun Rag by Fred S. Stone, and Echoes from the Snowball Club by Harry P. Guy. These works were already languishing in Remick's catalog, but in 1905, Daniels decided to step up the promotion. Let's just listen to those two back-to-back. We'll start off with The Bosun Rag by Fred Stone from 1899. It'll be played by the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble. And we'll follow that with Echoes from the Snowball Club, written a year earlier in 1898 by Harry P. Guy, played by the River Raisin Ragtime Review. Here is the Porcupine Group.
Thank you.
two pieces back-to-back by Detroit composers, Fred S. Stone's Bosun Rag by the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble, and Harry P. Guy's Echoes from the Snowball Club by the River Raisin Ragtime Review, both, of course, promoted by Charles N. Daniels. In 1905, he started stepping up his purchases of ragtime, and he knew where a lot of good rags could be found, and that was in the state of Missouri. He purchased six of them in 1905 and 06. The biggest seller among them was Irene Giblin's Chicken Chowder. Here is the Turpentine Ragsters. The Turpentine Ragsters featuring Nora Hultz on piano and Chicken Chowder by Irene Giblin. All right. In 1907 came the Hoosier Rag by Julia Niebergall of Indianapolis. This was another Daniels pick that did quite well. Here is the Max Marath Quintet. Thank you. nice version by the Max Morath Quintet, Hoosier Rag by Julia Niebergall. Well, Daniel's judgment on ragpicking was confirmed again in 1908 by the sales of George Botsford's Black and White Rag, which became Remick's second rag to sell over a million copies. Here is the Swiss duo of Martin Jaeger and Felix Führer. Martin Jaeger on piano, Felix Führer on washboard, and Black and White Rag, done in the style of, oh golly, it was right on the tip of my tongue and I just lost it. Anyway, let's move on, because I'm out of time, so let's keep going. The Poker Rag came along in 1909, Charlotte Blake was a staff writer for Whitney Warner in Detroit. Daniels recognized her talents, published and promoted her rag to much success. Here are the Ragtime Skedaddlers.
Thank you.
All right. The Poker Rag is played by the Ragtime Skedaddlers. In 1910, under Daniels, the company had another success. This time it was Gene Schwartz's Black Beauty. Here is Jeff Barnhart. That was Black Beauty, as played by Jeff Barnhart, from 1910, of course, published by Daniels. And in the background, we've got The Meadowlark, published in 1916 by Daniels, played by Elliot Adams. But we're pretty much out of time. In 1912, Daniels moved out to California for his daughter's health, and he quickly established a new publishing company, and they did publish The Meadowlark, but they didn't publish too much of anything else in the way of ragtime. Instead, they did quite a number of popular tunes that Daniels actually wrote, and we focused on those 2 weeks ago. Song of the Wanderer, Sweet and Lovely, Chloe, some of those. So, this is Jack Rummel saying thanks very much for joining us on Ragtime America this evening. Hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit more about Charles N. Daniels, the publisher, and Charles N. Daniels, the composer. So, I hope you'll tune in again next week at this same time for some more recorded ragtime. The time is 9:01. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. I'm not sure if we're connected with our Denver station at the moment, so we should be having swing shift. Let's see what happens. Well, I was afraid of that. I hadn't heard from Dave Gloss, and so I'm not sure. Maybe we just don't have a connection tonight. So we will be having some appropriate music to entertain you instead. Well, I must apologize. We are experiencing technical difficulties at this point. I will do my best to get something going here, so we'll see what happens.